number 7, Stan Phillips.
Good morning, Met fans, and happy 2 for Tuesday. I'm going to stress the word happy because if you're a Met fan, it's not the easiest day to be happy after last night's debacle. I was actually feeling confident, saying, wow, this is going to be a great start for the Mets. And then the earth collapsed. We had a 4-0 lead going into the bottom of the 8th inning, and somehow we lost the game. Now, like Mama always said, there'll be days like this, so I'm not panicking. But this one really stung. Anytime you blow a lead like that late in the game, when you have a 4-run lead in the 8th inning, which is basically almost a lock, stock, and barrel win for your team, that kind of blows. And here's how it happened. With a 4-0 lead, Trevor May tossed a scoreless 7th and came back for more in the 8th. It was the first time he went more than one inning with the Mets. But after walking Alec Baum, who was receiving Bronx cheers for his fielding earlier in the game from the hometown faithful Philly fans, he was taken out of the game with an apparent injury, and then the roof collapsed. He was clenching a fist with his right hand and favoring his right arm. That forced the Mets to bring in Joey Rodriguez, who faced Kyle Schwarber, runners on the corners and on out. He grounded into a fielder's choice, giving the Phillies their first run of the night. So I'm saying, okay, that was the worst of it. We gave up a run. But then JT Realmuto, that prized free agent catcher from a few years ago, followed with a long 2-run homer to make it a 1-run game. He then struck out one of the most polarizing players in the game, Bryce Harper. And Buck Showalter went to Seth Lugo for the final out of the 8th. Seth walked Castellanos, and then Rhys Hoskins lined a double down the left field line to bring him in to tie the game. Didi Gregorius drove in Hoskins to give the Phillies a lead, so they erased a 4-run deficit in the 8th. And I'm a big fan of Seth Lugo, but even he didn't have it yesterday. But then in the 9th, Brad Hand, we got him last year to possibly make a playoff run. He struck out pinch hitter Dominic Smith, got James McCann to fly out, and punched out Brandon Nimmo to record the save. Now, May wasn't the only one getting hurt in the game yesterday. Close your ears if you don't want to hear any more. Taiwan Walker took the mound with a 3-run lead and retired the first 6 batters he faced, 4 of them via strikeout. That was all the work he would have, and he surprisingly exited the game after those 2 innings with right shoulder stiffness. Irritation, I should say. So wasn't good on the pitching front. So what are we, 4 games into the season? We've lost DeGrom before the season started, and now we may have to wait and see what's the story with Taiwan Walker and Trevor May. Now, the Mets threatened early, taking advantage of the Phillies' awful defense, but the first 2 batters in scoring position. Pete the Polar Bear Alonso drove in a run on a ground out, and Eduardo Escobar drove in another run with a 2-out single. Now, 2 batters later, Mark Hanha continues hot start and dunked us in a single to shallow right to drive in the Mets' 3rd run of the night to continue his hot start. The Met offense cooled off a bit, but in the 7th, Francisco Lindor gave the Mets a 4-0 lead with an RBI single. Now, the Mets attacked Baum early and often, and it worked. He had 7 balls hit to him in the first 13 batters. How often do you see that? And he committed a career-high 3 errors in that span. So, pardon the pun, it was a comedy of errors for Alec Baum. And the Philly crowd was getting a little restless with his defense. And to be honest with you, the Philly defense is suspect. I know they won yesterday, but that's one of the reasons why I'm not concerned about them passing the Mets in the standings anytime this season, although they're ahead of us now. I think in the long run, their defense is going to cost them a lot of games. Now, David Peterson entered the game a third, and he did well. He allowed a single to Gene Segura, but picked him off at first base and got out of the third unscathed. The fourth, he put runners on the corners with one out, but Hoskins grounded into an inning-ending 6-4-3 double play to end that threat. Peterson shut out the Phillies in four innings of work. He struck out three and allowed three hits and two walks, throwing 32 strikes in his 58 pitches. He made his final out, but Nimmo continued his hot start to the season with a pair of hits. And like I said, it's a tough pill to swallow, that loss, but we'll move on. It's only the fourth game of the season. No need to be jumping off of bridges just yet. Just kidding. But I think the biggest concern is, well, you lose a game like that, you only want those to happen a couple times a year. So maybe we got the first one out of the way. Like I said, the big concern is going to be Taijuan Walker and Trevor May. And Taijuan Walker pitched his perfect second inning, but then he was seen in the dugout between innings calling over a trainer to follow him to the tunnel. So something happened somewhere in that second inning, even though he was pitching well. And Trevor May basically said he experienced something similar to a dead arm. And after pitching around a single in the seventh inning, May came back out for the eighth inning, and after walking bomb to start the inning, he appeared to wince on his final pitch and left the game. Now, Buck Showalter said both pitchers will get an MRI, so hopefully the results will be positive for the Mets. You always speculate. You never know what's going to happen. But you can't let the emotions get to you. You just have to wait and see what the MRI results are. But Walker was doing okay. He struck out four batters on 30 pitches, 20 strikes. And he looked like the all-star pitcher he was for the first half of the year. But he said he just didn't feel right after throwing a slider. But he isn't overly concerned. He said he was feeling better now, but I'm going for an MRI and just dealing with it. But he feels pretty good about it. So that's a good thing. And Showalter echoed May's sentiment, saying it could be arm fatigue. May, who said he usually deals with arm soreness early in the season, was asked to record more than three outs for the first time as a Met. And he said that, combined with the cold and still only 4 weeks removed from reporting spring training, led to the awkward feeling in his arm. It's been a little bit since he's done it, said May, but there was no pitch or sharp pain or something went. So it's stuff he says he's felt before. So maybe we're making too much of this right now. But again, we just have to wait to see what the results are. You never know until his doctor reports back. But despite these three injuries, and again, we don't know the severity of the last two, the Mets pitching staff has been fantastic. I know the bullpen fell apart a little bit yesterday, but in DeGrom's absence, a rotation has really picked up the slack. I know there were certain concerns about some of the pitchers heading into the season. The likelihood of the rotation being strong enough without DeGrom was high. So no one really should be too surprised about the first week the Mets are having. Tyler McGill, five innings pitched, no runs, three hits, with no walks and six strikeouts. Like that result. Max Scherzer, six innings pitched, three runs, three hits with one walk and six strikeouts. Love that result. Chris Bassitt, six innings pitched, no runs, three hits with one walk and eight strikeouts. Love that result. Carlos Carrasco, 5.2 innings pitched, one run and two hits with no walks and five strikeouts. Loving that. And then Taijuan Walker looked good yesterday. So hopefully the rotation is nothing to cause any concern for. Going into last night's game, they only gave up four runs in 22.2 innings, walking two and striking out 25. And that, my friends, will win you a pennant all the time. Now, granted, four of those games were against the Nationals. But, again, I always say any major league team has professional hitters on it. So you never take any performance lightly. Did we expect it to be this good? No. Do we expect it to continue being this good? No. But you can see that when these pitchers are on, they are something else. So it's going to be fun. And I think the big question mark, if Carlos Carrasco can return to what he's done in the past, we're going to be in pretty good shape because he was a beast for quite some time with the Indians. So I'm happy for Carlos. But the rotation looks good. And if we get DeGrom back, we're going to be meaning some business on the mound, that's for sure. But what was the pleasant surprise out of yesterday's game? Well, David Peterson. His first appearance of 2022 lasted longer than either starting pitcher did on Monday night. Now, it is unclear, though, if he'll end up in the starting rotation after what transpired Monday. He is kind of the lower man on the totem pole, but we're thankful we got the performance we did out of him, and it's good to know that he's a viable alternative. He looked like he was in complete control in four scoreless innings he pitched against the Phillies, gave up just three hits in keeping the game firmly in the visiting team's hands before the ultimate bullpen collapse. And if they had won the game, we'd be talking about Peterson being the hero. So you always got to look at the positive, too. And one of the most positive things happening for the Mets these days is Mark Hanha. He's going to be a perfect piece to the Met puzzle. He's the ultimate team player. 33 years old, so he's a seasoned veteran at this point, and he's in his eighth major league season. But he is really hitting the ball now. Do we expect him to hit that all year? No. But he's gotten seven hits and 13 plate appearances with a .769 on base percentage. And you could just see that he takes every approach to plate. He's focused. And when you hit the ball hard like he's been hitting it, things happen for a good reason. So he kind of reminds me of like a J.D. Davis type hitter that when he's on, he can. I think J.D. Davis is a better hitter. But I just think they're a pleasure to watch at the plate because they're very workmanlike and get the job done. But Kanha, you know, his average will come down a little bit, that's for sure. But it's just good to see that we have such a complete ball player in him. I just love the fact that the Mets got all these guys during the offseason that are fundamentally sound and good team players and positive influences. And after games like that yesterday, you kind of need that to keep everything in perspective. So you need a pros pro like Kanha, a guy who doesn't waste at-bats. He may not get the hit all the time, but his on-base percentage is phenomenal. Like I said, his career average is only .247. But he has one of the highest on-base percentages in baseball for the last few seasons. So that's what they got him for, and that's what we're going to go ahead and hope for the best with him. So I'm a big fan of Kanha, and I'm a big fan of Marte. So far, they're getting good grades from me as players, and the Mets are getting good grades as having a good eye for talent during the offseason. So for tonight's game, the pitching matchup should be a doozy. We got Tyler McGill going against Zach Wheeler, two very strong right arms who can bring the heat. And we'd like a good bounce back tonight, wouldn't we? We got our work cut out for us with Zach on the mound. It's going to be a good one. So we'll be back to talk about that one tomorrow. But now let's proceed with our usual Mets celebrations of birthdays, transactions, etc. And as always, there's always something going on in Met history. A lot of birthdays to celebrate today. We got Paula Duca, the Duke, born in 1972. DJ Carrasco, born this date in 1977. Danny Garcia, born this date in 1980, I should say. Justin Ruggiano, born this date in 1982. Brad Brock, born this date in 1986. And current Met, Thomas Nito. I think Thomas Nito is going to have a pretty good year as the Met backup this year. He seems to be a little bit more confident at the plate. And he's also celebrating a birthday today, born in 1994. Now, on this date in 2001, Nelson Berbing passed away. If you're not familiar with old Met history, Nelson was the director of scouting for the Mets from 68 to 72 and director of player development in 73 and 77. He also played for the Cardinals for a season in 1955. And also, we lost Jim Frey on this date. Jim Frey, we remember as being a coach for the Mets in 82 and 83. And on the transaction front, on this date in 67, the Mets signed free agent Ralph Terry. They signed free agent Jesus Alou in 75. Ralph Terry, I'm not sure if I mentioned here, he was signed in 67. Dyer Miller was signed by the Mets on this date in 1980. And on this date, the Mets traded Julio Valera and Julian Vasquez to the California Angels for Dick Schofield in 1992. Now, before we go to the Jeopardy and Trivia, I just want to remind everybody, if you listen to this podcast, please do subscribe to the podcast. That way you'll be alerted every time we put one up every day. And you'll have access to our complete library of all the podcasts we've done. So what a better way to, when you have a nasty weather day, just binge listen to the podcast. Someone has to, right? And then if you're not a member of the Facebook group, New York Mets Baseball Way of Life, by all means, please do join. We have good content there every day, great contributions from the group members. And now Facebook calls it a community, and that's what I like to call it, a community, where we just talk Mets 24-7 on that site. And if you ever need to reach me, I'm at philstan41@gmail.com. I welcome all comments and suggestions, so please do check us out there. And now it's time for Met Baseball and Jeopardy. Who is ready? Who has got their pencils and pens ready? Okay, today's Met trivia question is, only two players in Met history have had at least two seasons with at least 40 doubles. Can you name them? And today's Jeopardy, as you anxiously await, two clues, traded by the New York Yankees to the Mets in exchange for Roy Steger on December 9th, 1977. Second clue, wore number 3 and 1, numbers 3 and number 1, as a Met. Can you name that player? I will be back later in the podcast to let you know how you did and what the correct answers are. Now, what's going on in the group? Well, that's what we're here to tell you about. Every day, great stuff, great stuff. And if you're not a member, you should really join just for the fact we have a game day thread every day where we talk about today's game pre, during, and post game. You can put all your comments on there. Great stuff. We had a great picture in the group of Tom Seaver and Dave Kingman, greeting newly named Met manager on May 31st, 1977. Now, of course, that was weeks before Tom and Dave were traded in that midnight massacre. Great photo of Serval Zippers. Remember Serval Zippers that was out in Shea Stadium, out beyond left field? If you do, then you're an old-timer like me. Great photo montage of Gil Hodges, Kingman, Singleton, and Seaver. Another great picture of Darryl Strawberry, Whitney Houston, and Gary Carter you have to check out. We remember Newsday's headlines from 7 years ago where Henry Mejia was hit with an 80-game suspension for PED use. Not a great memory for us Met fans. But every day we have good content. And Mike Scott, he is right on all the time with his commentary on games. And you just have to join the group to check out Mike and what he had to say about yesterday's game and the pitching injuries. And we mentioned that Tom Seaver's widow, or as Howie Rose said, his wife, he likes to call his wife, Nancy and daughter Sarah and Ann will be in attendance for the Tom Seaver statue ceremony before the home opener on Friday. Steve and Alex Cohen will also be present, as will Mike Piazza. Should be fun. Then we had the old reminder that Steve Chilcott was the number one draft pick in the 1966 amateur draft by the Mets. Yes, we took Steve Chilcott ahead of Reggie Jackson. Then we noted Mark Conha and his hitting. And the Mets are allowed to have four jerseys that they can use, not including City Connect. City Connect, I think the Mets are going to have one in a couple years. So they're keeping the black jersey. And the road blue alternates will no longer be in the rotation. The black jerseys replace the blues. And Jordan Yamamoto has cleared waivers and has been outrighted at AAA Syracuse. He remains in the Met organization as starting pitching depth. And then we noted that the most hits by a Met player in his first three games to start a season, Kevin McReynolds with 9, Mike Piazza with 8, Darryl Strawberry with 8, and Glenn Denon with 8, followed by Xavier Nady, Lee Mazzilli, and Mark Conha with 7. And Mark Conha tied a record for most hits in his first three games with the Mets, tying Xavier Nady, who did it in 2006. So congratulations. And then we mentioned that Ed Hearn, on a serious note, needs a kidney match. I posted the information on there, so hopefully all works out well for Ed. Really do hope it works out well. And we also had a classic picture of Willie, Mickey, and the Duke coming into the Shea Stadium playing surface from center field, that Met old-timer game in 1977. One of the greatest photos of all time in baseball history, if you ask me. And now, as we do before we end up every podcast, we are going to give you the answers to the Met trivia and Jeopardy question. The trivia question was, only two players in Met history have had at least two seasons with at least 40 doubles. Can you name them? Well, the correct answers are David Wright, who had 5 such seasons, and Edgardo Alfonso, who had 2. Congrats to Kareem Hayward from the group for being the first to answer that one correctly. And then the Jeopardy clues were traded by the New York Yankees to the Mets in exchange for Roy Steger on December 9, 1977, and worn numbers 3 and 1 as a Met. The correct response to that one is, who is Sergio Ferrer? Congrats to our good friend John Tierney on being the first to submit the correct answers. Well, there you have it. There's our Mets trivia and Jeopardy for today. And that'll end up another broadcast here of the Met Podcast, New York Mets Baseball Way of Life. Again, thank you for listening. It means the world to me. And check back tomorrow as we discuss tonight's game. Again, a great matchup, McGill against Wheeler. Should be fun to talk about. Have a great day. Enjoy your Tuesday, and let's go Mets.